The following reading is taken from William Goodge's Commentary on Hebrew 3. Verse 7, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Of hardness of heart, what is it? Number 1. Hardness of heart is an insensibleness of such means as are afforded to draw one from wickedness, or rather a willful obstinacy against them. For without man's will the heart cannot be hardened. Therefore here, and in a number of other places, is Exodus 9:34, 1 Samuel 6:6, 2 Chronicles 36:13. This act is applied to man himself, for the will is free and cannot be compelled or forced. Take away freedom from the will, and you take away the nature of the will. Therefore God himself, when he converts a sinner, works in him both to will and to do. First to will, and then to do. Philippians 2:13. That we may the better discern how willfulness causes a hardness of heart here spoken of, we are to consider hardness of heart in a double respect, as it is natural, and as it is habitual. First, natural hardness of heart is in all men, as other corruption seized on man's nature by Adam's fall, so did hardness of heart. Man by nature is given to withstand and oppose against all means afforded to keep him from sin, and in this opposition to remain obstinate, so as to be confounded rather than yield. This is that stony heart that is in man by nature, Ezekiel 11:19. Number 2, habitual hardness of heart is an increase of the former, and that by man's further willfulness. All mankind in Adam's loins, as he was a public person, willfully opposed against God, and everyone in his own person is given by nature more and more to oppose, but some more obstinately and impenitently than others. In such, the apostle joins hardness and an impenitent heart together, and shows that such treasure up themselves wrath, Romans 2:5. Adam's first sin had willfulness in it, so as there is willfulness in man's natural hardness, much more is there willfulness in his habitual hardness. Objection. Against this it is objected that God and Satan and other men do harden a man's heart. Answer. In general I answer that none of those do free a man from willfulness and that hardness of heart which seizes on him. So as in this respect we may say to him that is of an hard heart, O man, thou hast destroyed thyself, Hosea 13:9. To clear this point more fully, I will distinctly show how God, how Satan, and how other men are said to harden a man's heart. God does it in justice, Satan in malice, other men in willfulness. Of God's hardening a man's heart, God is said to harden as a judge, inflicting hardness of heart as a punishment, Romans 1:24. Now because man wittingly did that which deserves that punishment, he hardens his own heart, even as a thief who is condemned by the judge may be said to hang himself. Yet God's justice may in this point be more clearly manifested. Observe the particular respects in which God is said to harden a man's heart. They are these. First, in that all actions and motions, as their actions and motions, come from God, as our very being does, for in him we live and move and have our being, Acts 17:28. But the depravity of the action or motion comes from man. Therefore, man properly hardens himself. Number 2. And that God hinders not men from doing that which hardens. But God is a most high, supreme sovereign. There is none above him to bind him to do anything. He being not bound to hinder men from doing what they do, who can, or who shall blame him? Matthew 20:15. Man himself does the very deed. Number 3. And that he withholds or withdraws his softening spirit. For man's own spirit is a resisting spirit. Acts 7:51. It must be a higher and stronger spirit which keeps man's spirit in compass. But God's withholding or withdrawing his spirit is injustice for some sin of man. Number 4, in that God offers the occasions in which man's heart is hardened, as the word, sacraments, mercies, judgments, miracles, and such like. But these occasions are in themselves good. Their proper end is to soften the heart. It is by man's perverting them that they harden it. Man in this case is like the spider that sucks poison out of sweet flowers. Number 5, and that God gives over to Satan, who hardens man's heart, but God does this as a just judge, Satan being his executioner. Man himself brings this judgment upon himself. Of Satan and other men's hardening one's heart. As for Satan, though he may enter into a man as he entered into Judas, John 13:27, and provoke men to sin as he did David, 1 Chronicles 21:1, and beguile them through his subtlety as he beguiled Eve, 2 Corinthians 11:3, and sift them as he sifted Peter, Luke 22:31, yet he cannot force man's will to sin. As for other men, they can less force man's will than Satan. What they do is either by counsel, as the sorcerers hardened Pharaoh's heart, Exodus 7:11, or by expostulation, as Jezebel hardened Ahab's heart, 1 Kings 21:7, or by persuasion, as the princes hardened Zedekiah's heart, Jeremiah 38:4, 5, and 25, or by example, as the 400 prophets hardened one another, or were all hardened by Zedekiah's example, 1 Kings 22:11 and 12. If a man himself doesn't yield, what other men can do will not harden him. Therefore, man properly hardens himself. It will stand a man in no stead to put off the blame of the sin from himself to any other. This is that keeps men from being duly humbled and from true repentance, in which the heart comes to be more hardened. Yet too prone are men so to do. Some impute their hardness to God as Adam, some to Satan as Eve, Genesis 3:12 and 13, others to other men as Saul in 1 Samuel 15:21. Would we lay the blame on ourselves as we ought, we might be brought to such a sense of the burden that lies on us, as Christ would be moved to ease us, Matthew 11:28. Of the causes of hardness of heart. The ordinary causes of hardness of heart are such as these. Number 1, natural hardness, that is, the original cause of habitual hardness. If that be not taken away, this will accompany it. Both will be mixed together. In this respect, it is said of the unconverted Gentiles that they were past feeling. This is set down as an effect of natural hardness, Ephesians 4:18 and 19. For the word, going before, translated blindness, also signifies hardness, as is showed. Number 2, unbelief. This makes men disrespect promises, threatenings, mercies, judgments, and all other means which are of use to soften or break men's hearts. This is a great sin of the Israelites, who hardened their hearts in the wilderness, Deuteronomy 1:32. And 9:25, Psalm 73:22 and 32, Therefore the apostle, to prevent hardness of heart, admonishes those to whom he wrote to take heed of unbelief, verses 12 and 13. Number 3, hypocrisy. By this men cover and hide their sin, in which they wax bold in sinning. It is said of obdurate sinners that they lurk privily, Proverbs 1:18, and say, "No eye shall see us," Job 24:15. Number 4, pride. For this is ordinarily joined with scorn, disdain, such like vices as make men refuse and reject a means which might soften their hearts. Thus was Pharaoh's heart hardened, Exodus 5:2, and the heart of the Jews, Jeremiah 44:16. Number 5, presumption. When sins are committed against knowledge, conscience, light of nature, and motions. Number 7, relapse. To return to sin after a man has manifested solemn repentance, as a swine after it is washed returns to the mire, especially if it be to the same sin, as a dog licks up the vomit he had formerly cast out, is to make way for the devil's re-entry, in which a man's heart will be so hardened as his latter end will be worse than his beginning, 2 Peter 2:20, Matthew 12:43, and so on. Against this does Christ give prudent caveats, John 5:14 and 8:11. Number 8, lewd company. Lewd companions will by evil counsel, bad example, bold encouragement make men impudent and obstinate in sinning. The wise man, therefore, much dissuades from such company, Proverbs 1:10. Number 9, superfluity of the things of this world is of wealth, honor, ease, pleasure, applause, and other such things as men by nature delight in. These are like weeds, thorns, and briars, which draw out the moisture of the earth and make it dry and hard, or as weights that press out the juice of fruits and make them hard. 10. Multitude of crosses not sanctified. These are as many blows upon the smith's anvil. King Ahaz, in the time of his distress, did trespass yet more against the Lord. 2 Chronicles 28:22. The wrath of God came upon Israel and slew the fattest of them. For all that, they sinned still. Psalm 78, 31 and 32. Of man's hardening himself. Man hardens himself in two ways. First, privatively, and two, positively. Privatively, by refusing or rejecting means in which his heart might be softened. Means of softening a man's heart are public, private, and secret. Public means are public ordinances of God as the word read and preached. The sacraments, praying and praising God, yea, also God's works, and those both of mercy and judgment, whether ordinary or extraordinary. 2. Private means are reading and expounding God's word in private places, private praying and praising God, repeating sermons, private instruction, mutual holy conference, and such like. Number 3, secret means, reading the word and other good books alone, praying and praising God alone, meditation and examination of oneself. The Jews in the apostles' time hardened their hearts by putting away from them the word of God, Acts 13:46. And in John the Baptist's time, they rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of John, Luke 7:30. They refused to subject themselves to that ordinance. In Christ's time, they hardened their hearts by opposing against his miraculous works, Matthew 12:24, John 15:24. About means which are to soften men's hearts, men, in a number of ways, beguile themselves so as they harden their hearts, as in number one, putting off for the present such means as might soften them to another time. As he that said to Paul, go your way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Acts 24:25. But that season never came. Number two, by thinking they have done enough, when it is but little that they have done, yet can say, behold, what a weariness is it, Malachi 1:18. Number three, by resting in the outward work, as they who said, wherefore have we fasted, and thou seest not. Number four, by doting upon human ordinances, as they who in vain worship God, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men, Matthew 15:9. Secondly, positively, men harden themselves by a slavish yielding to the causes of hardening men's hearts mentioned. This they do by nourishing their natural hardness, by opposing against God's truth and His promises and threatenings, by hiding their sin, by pride, by presumption, by long lying in sin, by returning to sin after repentance, by setting their hearts too much on the things of this world, by perverting God's chastisements. And that hardness of heart arises from oneself, even from his own willfulness. It nearly concerns us to be the more watchful over ourselves and to withstand the very beginning of hardness of heart. For Satan is very subtle. It seeks to beguile a man by degrees, and sin is deceitful and of a bewitching nature. It soaks into a man insensibly, and we of ourselves are very foolish, like the silly fish that with a fair bait is soon taken. Hence it is that from small beginnings many come to this high pitch, even to be hardened in heart. When men are tempted to sin, first there is a thought of committing it, Genesis 38:15. Next, a plain consent to yield to it, Psalm 50:18. Thirdly, an actual committing of it, 2 Samuel 11:4. Or a repeating of it, Judges 16:1-4. Five, a custom therein, 1 Samuel 2:13. Number six, an excusing of it, 1 Samuel 15:15. Number seven, a justifying it, Isaiah 5:28, Luke 16:15. Eight, a glorying in it, Psalm 52:1. And nine, an habit that they can scarce do otherwise, Jeremiah 13:23. And ten, hardness of heart as a result, Romans 2:5. By these degrees it comes to pass that sin, which upon the first temptation seemed horrible, and upon the first committing of it much perplexed the soul and seemed to be an insupportable burden, making the sinner thus to complain, mine iniquities are gone over my head, as an heavy burden they are too heavy for me. Psalm 38:4. Appears in time not to be so burdensome, but rather light and easy, yea, so insensible as they can scarce perceive it, like him that says, they have stricken me, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I did not feel it. I will seek it yet again, Proverbs 23:35. Yea, further, it comes by degrees to be pleasing and delightful, so sweet in his mouth, as he hides it under his tongue, Job 20:12. Of the danger and damage of hardness of heart. The danger in which men fall by hardness of heart and the damage which they receive is greater than can be expressed. It brings a man into the most desperate case that in this world a man can be brought into by any other thing except it be by the sin against the Holy Ghost, in which hardness of heart makes a great way. Shame, grief, fear may be means to keep men that are not hardened from running on in their desperate courses. But hardness of heart is a spiritual senselessness and keeps from such passions as shame, grief, and fear. It makes men audacious in sinning. A troubled conscience casts a man into a most woeful plight, but a hardened heart is far worse than a perplexed soul. The troubled conscience may for the present seem more bitter, but if the issue of the one and the other be duly considered, we shall find that there is no comparison between them, but that the hard heart is far the worst. The troubled conscience, by accusing, galling, perplexing, and not allowing a man to be quiet, may so deject him as to restrain him from sin and bring him to repentance. But an hard heart puts on a man more and more to sin, and that with greediness, Ephesians 4:18, and which his condemnation is increased. In this respect, it were better for a man to die with a troubled conscience and a despairing heart than with a seared conscience and a hard heart. Of the signs in which a hard heart may be discerned. Hardness of heart is accompanied with blindness of mind. Therefore, there is one Greek noun that is put for both. Answerably, it is sometimes translated hardness in Mark 3:5, and sometimes blindness in Romans 11:25 and Ephesians 4:18. There is also a verb coming from the same root that is translated sometimes to harden, as Mark 6:52 and 8:17, sometimes to blind, as Romans 6:7, 2 Corinthians 3:14, and that hardness of heart and blindness of mind go together. He that hath an hard heart cannot well discern it, but yet by others it may be observed, and that by the effects of it. There are two special effects that discover an hard heart. One, careless security. When men are senseless, as senseless persons lie in sin, where there is no sense, commonly there is no life. A living man that hath a stone in his kidney or bladder will certainly feel it and complain of it. Now a hard heart is an heart of stone. Had he spiritual life in him, he would certainly feel it and complain of it. Senselessness, therefore, shows that a man's heart is so hardened as he has no spiritual life in him. From this careless security proceeds both a dissolute negligence and also a blockish stupidity. Number one, dissolute negligence makes men consider nothing nor lay anything to heart. The righteous perishes, and no man lays it to heart. And merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. Isaiah 57 verse 1. This is spoken of men of hard hearts. Such men let all things pass, whether manners of rejoicing or manners of mourning, without any inquiring after the cause, end, and use of it. Matthew 11:17. Number 2. Blockish stupidity makes men lie under those judgments which fall even upon their pates, like beasts. When Nabal heard of the danger in which he had been by refusing to relieve David and his soldiers, his heart died within him, and he became as a stone. 1 Samuel 25:37. Though they be overpressed, even out of measure, above their strength, yet they have no heart to pray for release or ease. Number two, willful obstinacy is another effect which discovers an hard heart. This makes men, one, to oppose against all the means which God affords to reclaim them, as his word, works, and so on. Number two, to resist the very motions of God's Spirit, as the hard-hearted Jews had always done, Acts 7:51. From hence proceeds malice against those that bear the image of God, as the scribes and Pharisees hated the Son of God, and all that believed in him, John 9:22, and the apostles, and them that believed through their word, Acts 6:5, and so on. Yea, such as be hard-hearted come to be haters of God himself, and endeavor to put out the very light of nature, Romans 1:28-30. Of the remedies for preventing or redressing hardness of heart. Hardness of heart being such as has been set out, it is very requisite that remedies be prescribed for preventing or redressing it. They are such as these. Take heed of all and every of those causes whence hardness of heart arises. These are distinctly set down. Take away the cause, and the effect will follow. Where the cause remains, the effect also will remain. Withal, endeavor to get such virtues and graces as are contrary to the forementioned causes of hardness, for one contrary will expel another. As light being contrary to darkness keeps out or expels darkness, so virtues contrary to the causes of hardness will prevent or redress the same. Those graces are these that follow. 1. Regeneration. By this natural hardness is removed. 2. Faith. Hereby unbelief is addressed. 3. Sincerity. This keeps out hypocrisy. 4. Humility. Hereby pride and other like vices are kept down. 5. A fear of God. This will withhold us from gross sins. 6. Christian prudence. This will make men wary of multiplying sins and long lying therein. 7. Spiritual watchfulness. This will uphold in such a course as will preserve us from relapse. 8. Holy jealousies, lest we should by company be drawn aside. 9. Contempt of this world and of the things of it, that we may not be ensnared and overcome by them. Patience under all crosses is laid on us by our Heavenly Father for our good. 11. Labor to feel the heavy burden of sin, as he did that said, "My sins are too heavy for me." Psalm 38:4. For this end consider, 1. That sin destroyed all mankind. It poisoned Adam and all his posterity, Romans 5:12. 2. That it made paradise too hot for Adam to abide in it, Genesis 3:23-24. 3. That it caused all the fearful judgments that have been executed from the beginning of the world. 4. That when saints apprehend it unpardoned, their conscience is a very rack to them. 5. That when impenitents feel the burden of it, it makes their very life a burden to them. For example, Judas in Matthew 27:4-5. 6. That it makes the damned in hell weep and gnash their teeth, Matthew 25:30. For their torment is endless, easeless, merciless, remediless. 7. That it holds the angels that fell in everlasting chains under darkness, Jude 6. 8. That albeit Christ had no sin in himself, yet when the burden of our sin is a surety laid upon him, it cast him into a bitter agony and made it sweat as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Luke 22:44. There is no mirror that can so to the life set out the horror of sin as this of Christ. When thou art overtaken with the sin, speedily return from it and repent. So did Peter. So soon as by hearing the cock crow and discerning his Lord's beck, he was put in mind of his sin, he presently repented. He went out and wept bitterly. Luke 22:60-62. The longer sin continues, the stronger it grows. It will fret like a canker, and eat up the life of the soul. Therefore, do not put off repentance. After you have repented, be more watchful over yourself, so you do not fall into a relapse. If after the hand be blistered and healed, a man use a hammer again, it will wax the harder. Be constant in using means sanctified for softening the heart. Among other means, hearing the gospel is a special one to keep or drive off hardness of heart. Therefore, allow the word to work on you as it did on Josiah in 2 Kings 22:19. Don't put it off as Felix did in Acts 24:26. Nor mock at it as the Jews did in Acts 2:13. Nor blaspheme it as other Jews did in Acts 8:45. To public means, add private. yea, and secret also. Walk continually before God as Enoch did, Genesis 5:24. This will keep you from yielding to temptations, even in secret, Genesis 39:9. Apply judgments on others to yourself, and by judgments on yourself, be moved to examine yourself, and so humble yourself before God. Joseph's brethren, by this means, were brought to sight of their sin, Genesis 42:21. Learn to number your days aright. This will make you account every day the last, and make you live, as it were, the last day you should live on earth. And it will make you think more frequently of that account that you are to give to God. At the end of every day, examine yourself and consider what sins have passed from you. This may be a means of renewing repentance and keeping you from a hard heart. And finally, while your heart is soft, pray against hardness of heart and desire others to pray for you.